Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speaketh right. The wrath of the king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. And how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We'll stop our reading there. We'll pray, and then we'll give you some comments on the scriptures. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good day today, the good things that you've allowed us to see and do. We thank you for your love and mercy and your protection and grace. We thank you for the wonderful Word of God. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us tonight as we study together, speak to our hearts, give us an understanding. Help us, Lord, not only to hear the Word and study the Word, but help us to be doers of the Word of God. Bless us now with a clear mind, and help us as we speak. And speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're grateful for you being here tonight. And I have read verses, Proverbs 16, and I think I started in verse number 12. But in these verses, we mentioned a few things about them on last Wednesday night. But these verses, many of them that in this particular group of verses, there's several of them that has to do with the king of a nation. And of course, you and I know tonight that we have a democracy, we have a president, we are not ruled by a king. But in the nation of Israel, in this book, is a Jewish book. And in this book that we study, the Proverbs, the Old Testament, it's a Jewish book. And the Israelites, they had a king. In fact, they had numerous kings. God desired to be their king. And when they desired a king, their first king, Saul, as they desired him, the Lord said to Samuel, it's not me that not you that they rejected, but it's me that they rejected. God wanted to rule over them, but they wanted to be like other nations and bring forth a king, and they did. And I did point out on last Wednesday night, and it is of a truth, I studied that. When you study that kingdom of Israel as it's given to us, and those that rule over it in the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and you study that kingdom of Israel, and all of those many kings that they had, they did not have one good king. All of them displeased the Lord in some matter or another. You read about one or two, and it seems like they're going in the right direction and doing pretty good. And then you read that there was failure in their life in really honoring the Lord and accomplishing in the nation what God wanted accomplished. And in reality, these verses, look at verse 10. I'm not going to read it again, but it talks about the lips of the king. In verse number 12, it uses it in a plural manner, and it says it's an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. In verse 13, it's in the plural. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And verse 14 says the wrath of a king is as the messengers of death. Verse 15 talks about the king's countenance. So certainly there are several verses here that has to do with the king. Could I say tonight, I really wonder how many people that is in the realm of politics tonight that really fears God and really loves the Lord. I think it's very rare and very few. I think about the conduct of different men today. This is not a political speech. This is a Bible presentation. And it says much here about the responsibility of kings. And I would that we had people in leadership, and I'm sure there's some that really had a fear of God about their life. That'd be the answer to many of our problems today. And it mentions here about the wrath of a king and what was done through the wrath of a king. It said in verse 14, the wrath of a king is as messenger of death, because that king had power, and what he said was what happened. And you go back as a reference to this when Mordecai, Haman had it all planned for him to be slain, but all of that turned upon him. And when the king spoke the word, immediately Haman was hanged on the gallows, which was designed for Mordecai. In that particular setting, you see the word, the power, the voice of a king in those days. Well, could I say tonight, I'm confident I know, and you know, that we are required to pray for our president, for our leaders, for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. And so we are obligated in a sincere, earnest way to pray for those that are over us. This not necessarily tells exactly what a king is every time, but it tells us what a king or a leader should be. So let's move to verse 16. It said in verse 16, how much better it is to get wisdom than it is to get gold, and to get an understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Wisdom and understanding, the value, the great value of wisdom and understanding. Better to get wisdom than gold. Better to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Did you know there are things that are much more important to obtain than the wealth and the treasures of this world? And that's what we have here. Wisdom and understanding, they are not the same. Wisdom is that which guides us in life. It's the guide of life. It includes the life of faith that we live. That's wisdom. A life without faith is a life without wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom, the guide of life, that includes that life of faith and the fear of God. Without that, there is no real wisdom. Understanding has to do with discernment, the faculty of distinguishment, to be able to look at situation, to be able to look at things, to be able to look at different things and determine, is this right or this wrong? You know, we need that in these days, that understanding, a spirit of discernment. There's things that, you know, a lot of times, if you just listen, a lot of times there'll be a red light in your mind. You think, that don't sound just right. The other night, I had TV on, Pastime, listening to the Christian station out of, up the country here, and there was a religious broadcast on, and my wife said, that just didn't sound right, you know. Sometimes, a lot of times, when they don't sound right, they probably ain't right, you know. That understanding, you need to understand. We gain understanding. The old saying, everything that glitters is not gold, whole lot of truth to that. You know that? And so we need a discernment. I've had people that, you know, they get excited with emotionalism. Well, I'm an emotional person. I don't criticize emotionalism per se. I'm an emotional person. You've seen me shout. You've seen walk aisles. You've seen me rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. But old brother Fred Copeland said something years ago that I've always thought about. He said, an empty wagon makes more noise than one that's loaded. And there's a whole lot of truth to that. Do you know that? I do not judge people's spirituality by their emotionalism. I really don't. I tell you what I like. I like faithfulness. That tells the story. Dependability. That tells the story. What do they really believe and say about the gospel and the grace of God? That tells the story. I'm telling you, we need discernment, and that's what we have here. And what a great thing it is to get these things. Better to have them than to have silver and to have gold. May the Lord help us be able to tell the difference right and wrong. May the Lord help us in these. Well, let's move to verse 17. It said, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. The highway of the upright. Well, I know the difference in a highway and a pig path. The wife and I went down first to last week, down Helen, Georgia, and back to Murphy, North Carolina, and then back through the byways of East Tennessee. And, of course, she was following that phone, next thing I knowed, well, we was on a road that was rougher than seed tick. And I thought, well, where are we going now? But it wasn't but a matter of a few minutes till we was on Highway 68. And when we hit Highway 68, I said, this, I know where I'm at now. I'm no longer on a pig path. It's a state highway. We're headed to Sweetwater. I know where I'm going. But I'm telling you, seed tick's rough. Sometimes I tell my wife, you need to go out that way. Somebody's going to run over you coming in this way. And most of you, when you come to our place, you come in the first, you get off Airport Road, come in, turn left on Sig Tech. And them little curves in there, people run over you. If you ain't careful, the preacher's liable to run over you. It's narrow. You know what I'm saying? Why did I say all of that? You understand the difference in a little old country road and a highway. And that's what I read in this verse of Scripture. It said the highway of the upright. Do you think it means a highway? I think it means a highway. You know what a highway is? A highway is one that it's easy to find. You know? Well, if you ain't careful, get out in the country looking and trying to find something, and you'll pass up this road and that, you know, get lost. Go around in circles, wonder where you're at. But a highway is easy to find. Could I say tonight that this way we're talking about, the way of righteousness, the highway of the upright, it's not hard to find. God gave us a Bible. God gave us a preacher. God gave us people to instruct us in this way of life. It's a highway. It ain't near as hard to find as a lot of people would let you try to lead you to believe that it is. It's not hard to find. Sometimes a little hard to travel. But, you know, it's like a highway. Isaiah said something about that highway. You know, and I'm confident it refers, an old-time preacher preached on it being the highway of salvation. And you can look at it that way. But it has to do with the millennial kingdom. And when Christ reigns upon this earth, and how things will be so plain, and how things will be in those days. But he said there'd be a highway, and that highway would be so plain that a wayfaring man, though he was a fool, should not err therein. You ever heard that verse quoted before? That's what we're talking about tonight. There is a highway. There is a way to travel. There is a life to live, and it's simply this. There's things you avoid and you bypass in this highway of the upright. And the thing you bypass in this highway is you bypass evil. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And then it says that he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. He that keepeth his way. Now I want you to listen to what I got to say tonight. I want you to hear what I got to say tonight. You young people, especially, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're eternally saved. You have eternal life. You're kept by the power of God. You're in the hand of the Savior, and you cannot lose that. You'll be saved for eternity. I believe that. I rest in that. I don't doubt that. I don't waver from that. But I'll tell you one thing. There's obstacles and temptations along the way. And you better know that. And you better be on guard about those things. And this is the Bible. It said, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Now, as I've done said, the Lord keeps that soul. But you see, we've got a way. We've got a life. And our life is filled with many choices. And our choices certainly affect the lives that we live. I mean, there's no way around it. They affect our lives, the choices we make. Now, let me give you three verses of Scripture connecting with the thought I'm dealing with tonight. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says that we are to abstain from all evil. If you see something appears to be wrong, stay away from it. If you know a program, if you know a certain spot, if you know that that's something that's not good, don't even go there. Stay away from it. Abstain from it. That's what we have in the teaching of the Word of God. Romans 12:21 said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our lives, God gives them to us, and we are to make right choices, and we are to eschew evil. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:11. He that will love life and see good days, let him restrain his lips from speaking guile, and let him eschew evil. If you want to see good days, you better stay away from wrong. You better stay away from evil. Don't be overcome with evil. A lot of truth to that. Simple truth, but a lot of truth. I hope we take heed. A lot of people's messed their lives up. Saved people messed their lives up because they got involved in things that was not right. You young people, that which is not right, even if it's questionable, stay away from it. May the Lord help us in these areas. Let's move on. Pride go up before destruction. A haughty spirit before fall. I suppose to me, I don't know about you, but to me this is one of the most familiar verses of the Proverbs. That's one of a few that I've committed to memory. Now every time I couldn't tell you where that verse is found at, but I've back years ago that rung clear in my ears, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Someone said this, and it's true. I think I know what it has reference to, and I think you know what it has reference to. But it said pride sought flight to heaven, but it fell to hell. And that has to do with Lucifer. I will exalt myself above my throne, above the throne of God. But he fell. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit above before a fall. It's something we must guard against. It's something we must deal with in our own lives. God blesses us. There's accomplishments. He allows us to do things and accomplish things in our life. And we're not very careful. We're prone to want to have self-glorification and a pat on the back and fail that God be glorified in the things of life. You see that those that would have a haughty spirit, that think of themselves above what is meet, they look with contempt upon others. And with their pride, they affront God and disquiet others. But they will be brought down either by repentance or by ruin. And men have been brought down in both ways. I think about a lesson in the book of Daniel. And we're going to soon be done. And so we're going to take our time. I want you to find the book of Daniel. And I want you to find chapter number 4. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 4. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in this setting, in Daniel chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in his dream he saw a vision of a tree that had grown to the height of heaven. You could see it from the ends of the earth, it says. The leaves were fair, the fruit much, meat for all, beasts of the field shattered under it, fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I saw in a vision of my head upon my bed, verse 13, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and he said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man. Let a beast's heart be given unto him. Let 7 times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giving it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel, I had this dream. My astrologers, my men could not interpret the dream. But you're a man that has the spirit of the holy God, and you can interpret it. And as Daniel interpreted that dream to him, he says, you're the tree. You're going to be cut down. You're going to be given the heart of a beast, not of a man. And you're going to live out in the field like an animal. You're going to live the life of an animal. And so verse 28 said, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, which was king of Babylon, at the end of 12 months. So a time period of 12 months has now lapsed, but God's word is sure. And when God sends warning, man must repent and turn to God. And to be honest with you, with the exhortation of Daniel in verse 27, I believe Daniel encouraged him to turn to the Lord, to repent of his sins, break off his sins, and to show mercy to the poor. In other words, that he would honor God instead of honoring himself. But he failed to heed the message of Daniel. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty, while the word was in his mouth? There fell a voice from heaven saying, O king, to thee it is spoken that the kingdom is departed from you. He was driven from men, he dwelt in the field like an animal, and I'm confident, no doubt, his hair growed out, his nails growed out, and here's the king. Here's the great one. Here's the one that was filled with pride. But what did the Word of God say? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. But the amazing thing to me, what did I say? A man will either be brought down, either by repentance, or to repentance rather, or to ruin. And the amazing thing to me, here's a great king, but in all of this insanity, in all of this taking place in his life, he came to himself, and his mind got straightened out. And it said in verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, why doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What an astounding, what a great declaration of faith of a man that God brought down from his pride. Isn't that wonderful? God does that. And he's able to do that. But pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And man is brought down either to repentance or to ruin. And I'm so glad that God is a merciful God. Many times he humbles people. I've seen people. I remember many years ago, just thought of it now. Hadn't thought of it in a long time. But we were visiting when I pastored where Brother Bobby used to pastor. At that time, it was still Pilot Mountain. And we'd visit in the community. And I remember one day, up next to the fairgrounds there, we knocked on the door, and this fellow, man, I mean, you know, I don't like preachers. They ask for money and all that. You've heard it. You've heard it. And lo and behold, it wasn't long. And I don't know what brought it about. But I mean, it wasn't long, man. There he was sitting in church, and his attitude has changed completely. God's able to make you think different. Let a few things take place in your life, and God, man, he can let the air out of you. He can bring you down. And it's a great thing when he does, when we can come before him with repentance and faith and humility and turn to God. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You see, real humility is based on thorough knowledge of our own nature and of its weakness and our openness to evil. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You see, there's great insistence laid in the scripture on the evil of pride and the value of humility. That's a message you do not want to miss in your Bible. There's things we may not understand, but here are simple truths that is taught throughout the pages of Holy Writ, that God honors those that will humble themselves and he abases the proud. Now, I think a person is to have self-respect, amen? I think a person is to have so much self-respect. I think a person can have false humility, you know, and I probably guilty at times. You know, well, I ain't much. Well, I might not be, but I am. I'm a child of the King. God gave us a ministry. God has allowed us to serve him. And I'm grateful. I may not be what others are, but I don't want to have a false humility about me. All that I am or ever hope to be is because of the grace of God. But thank God for the grace that does work and abound in our lives. God forbid we glory saving the cross. But all the wondrous things the cross has done in our lives. Let's don't have a false humility about us. Amen. Just be what we are. Praise God. I mean, you know, nothing wrong. You know, a lot of people think the man that's proud is the fellow that's got a high paying job and a position. It don't have nothing to do with it. I mean, really, it don't have nothing to do with it. One of the humblest, sweetest Christians I ever seen owned a sizable portion of the town of Albany, Kentucky. I'm telling you, love God, love people, love sinners, just humble. Hey, I'm telling you, it don't have to do with how much money you got. It has to do with our heart as it responds to the Word of God and the will of God in our lives. That's what it has to do with. Oh, yes, it certainly is. You see, when you think about it, there's really an evil of pride because it's based on fallacy. Could I say, and I read this, these are not original, but it's true. The question is asked, what has the richest or the strongest or the most clever man? What about the woman, the lady, beautiful, honorable, but of all those, the rich man, the strong man, the clever man, the beautiful woman, the honorable woman, what do they have that they have not received? God gives us all of this. Ultimately, we owe everything to our Creator and benefactor. The thought that our distinction is due to ourselves is essentially a false thought. Oh, humility is the only ground which we are safe. Humility is the only ground in which we are safe. You see, this ground of humility, where devotion finds its home, where there's a reverent trustfulness. Oh, where God lives and dwells, friend, He's there ready to shield and guard our lives. Oh, God, help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, a lot to consider. But there's peace and there's maturity in the lives of those that will walk humbly before their God. God help us tonight. I'm humbled to think that God would do for me what He has done. There's a warning given, and I'm soon done. But I thought I had notes on these. I don't know what I've done with them. I've lost a page somewhere or something. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. I'm closing with these remarks. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You ever heard the saying, don't forget your raising? That's not in the Bible that I know of. But I'm fixing to read you something that is in the Bible. And it's very important. It's very important. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Sad to say, but many American citizens have done that very thing. They've eaten, been blessed, and forgot the Lord. God help us. We move to chapter 8. We'll read these and I'm done. In chapter 8, he says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou art eaten and art full, and built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that they might humble thee, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee, and do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Don't forget, God gave you. God gave you the power to get this wealth. You got it? God gave you the power. There are no self made men. I know that's a pretty dogmatic statement, but if God didn't give you power, you'd have no power to accomplish anything. I'm very grateful tonight, very grateful for the good grace of God. And I promise you, and you know you're the same probably, but every now and then I get a little cocky and a little arrogant. But it don't take long till I sense the Spirit of God's grieved in my soul. And it's a blessed day when I can find myself prostrate at the feet of Jesus. Amen. God help us. We're different than we used to be. I heard old-time preachers talk about, and I believe it. You may differ, that's your privilege. But I've heard old-time preachers preach about weeping your way back to God. Weeping your way back to God. Amen. And we really shouldn't pray, Lord, you humble me. It's all right to pray, help me to be humble. But man, we don't want God to humble. We ought to want to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Thank you for coming. Let's stand to our feet and we'll shake hands. We'll have prayer.